The passage we're looking at this morning is John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through to 11. That's page 1082 on the Red Bibles, if you have it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, don't we know where you are going? So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves.
Good morning, everyone. I dressed really smart, I thought, today to come and preach to you. And then one of my brothers said to me, Rob, it looks like you're selling ice cream. It struck me to my core. I am not selling ice cream. I offer one who, if you believe in, will mean that you will never be thirsty. I present you Jesus today. But thank you, brother. Thanks for the building up. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sufficient, that it's infallible. Thank you for that public reading. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that even through that reading, you would be at work in our hearts, whether we have been Christians for many years. Lord, we pray that through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, we would be changed today. We would be led to repentance and faith. And if there are any here that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation, that people would turn in repentance and faith. For the forgiveness of their sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the way to eternal life? What's the way to eternal life? I recently caught up with one of my oldest group of friends over the Easter weekend. His name is Stoner, which we called him Stoner when he was much younger, and he's 42 years old, and we still call him that. This doesn't really work anymore. The day Stoner and Sarah got together that evening, I actually ended up in jail that night. It's amazing how God can work in somebody's heart. And these guys have stayed friends with me for so long and seen how God has changed me. And it's great that we can meet up, not very often, perhaps once a year, and just, you know, just share stories and ask them what they believe. I get to share what I believe, but get to ask those guys, where is their hope? And Stoner gave to me, he's quite honest and open, he gave me one of the biggest issues that he has with Christianity. He says, surely, he says, it doesn't really matter what your religion is. I hate it when Christians say others will not have eternal life because they don't believe what you believe, Rob. All I could do in that moment is tell him why Christianity was different to other religions and present some of the truth claims that Jesus presents himself. That's all I could do in the moment. Let's have a visualization moment. Picture a mountain. Picture a mountain. It's much more politically correct, and you may have heard the illustration numerous times. It's much more politically correct to visualize a mountain with multiple paths up the same mountain to the top and eternal life with God. Many claim as Bible-believing Christians and Muslims and Jews and Buddhists, etc., are essentially traveling different paths up the same mountain to God, but they're all blind and they just don't see that it's the same mountain. And they just don't see the truth that there are these other paths and different people traveling up them. There is more than one way to eternal life with God, they say. And this is reflected in my close friend's objection to the Christian claim to have the only truth. All religions are essentially the same. But in the light of the bombing in Manchester, how can we agree that all religions are claiming essentially the same thing? On the one hand, we have a religious system that says slaughtering others is the route to eternal life with God. And on the other, we have Jesus allowing his life to be slaughtered so that you and I can have eternal life with God. How can we say that they are the same? Look, Jesus is having a meal with his friends. The context of the passage that's just been read by Steve. And he makes the most insane, egotistical claim, doesn't he? What does Jesus say? He says, he is the way and the truth and the life. And debunking the picture of multiple paths up the same mountain, what does he say? He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. First then, Jesus says, he is the only way to go. Look at verses 1 to 6 again with me if you've got your Bibles open. What does he say? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What's going on here? What's going on here? These disciples have been made aware that Jesus is going away. Only a few chapters earlier, he's predicted his death. And in the previous chapter, chapter 13, he tells his disciples he's going somewhere where they cannot come and they can't follow him to yet. Where is Jesus going and what is he going to do? Well, in verse 2, we learn that he's going to his Father's house and he's going to prepare a room for his disciples. But there's a problem. They don't really appear to know the way, and they don't really understand where he's going either. So Jesus makes it clear. He tells them he's going home to his Father. And what's the way to the Father that Jesus says? Look at me, he's saying. I am the way. And he's saying, I am the only way to go. Some people here will find perhaps Jesus' claim, his exclusive claim, very hard to accept. You think it's just too exclusive. You know what I mean. Like my friend, my good friend Stoner, we can't bear the thought of someone like me stood up here all conceited saying, listen, I'm really sorry I have to tell you this, but the way you are living, your worship of yourself, your worship of other gods, none of this will mean anything when you die. This will be getting some people perhaps really irritated, even this morning, with me now. But this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells us he is the only way. But we still don't really get it, do we? Like the disciples then, we really haven't got our head around the eternal nature of our soul. And for those of us that think we have that wrapped up, we still think, even those of us that have been Christians for many years, we think we can make our own way there, make our own way up this metaphorical mountain to a blessed eternity with God. I used to think that people that behaved well, that gave up certain things in life, went to heaven. When you abstain from certain bad behaviors, do you think it will give you your eternal chances a better chance of succeeding than somebody else? Do you? Do you consider yourself a reformed character and now more worthy of eternal life? Jesus says to us today, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying all other ways, all other paths to the Father are frauds. Each other path is a dismal swamp. Your efforts, brothers and sisters, your efforts, your religion, yes, even your church attendance, your generous giving to charity, your abstinence and your great reputation. Jesus says, good though some of these things are, they're all for naught when it comes to eternal life. He says, I stand alone. Listen to Jesus this morning. He says, I stand alone. I am the way to God. We have friends involved in sharing the good news that Jesus is the only way with people of other faiths, especially with Muslims. I heard an interesting story, and many of you here would perhaps have heard this story, of a woman from a Muslim background who became friends with a couple of ladies from our church here, and she had a dream. She dreamed that there was a mountain, and her Christian friend was walking up one route to the mountain, and check this, she was walking another. But in her dream, instead of these paths converging at the top of the mountain, she was horrified. This Muslim lady was horrified to discover that she was walking in completely the wrong direction. And she was absolutely convicted that she needed to be following her friend. Now, not all of us are going to get a dream like that. And you know, as certain as she was about that dream, we're not even sure she has acted upon that dream. Now, you're not going to get a dream, but you get Jesus telling you this truth, I am the way and the truth and the life. So what? What's that dream going to do? The reality is many of us are walking the wrong path. But there is really good news. Listen to the good news this morning. The gospel means good news. Jesus has provided a lifeline. We get wrapped up with the exclusivity. He has provided a lifeline, a way to the Father. One day, all of us here can behold the glory of God by sight. Listen to the good news. Whoever you are, whatever has brought you here today, listen, our Father loves you. Our eternal Father loves you. He is unlike any father you have ever experienced in your life. He sees you at a distance this morning. He wants to embrace you. He wants to welcome you home again, either for the first time ever, or maybe for the umpteenth time if you're a believer here today. This is inclusive news. This is inclusive news because, you know, in our natural state, we are all lost, aren't we? Regardless of your gender, your race, your bank balance, your political view, your religious background, who you're sexually attracted to, what football team you support, we are all lost without Jesus. Jesus says to you now, I am the way. Come to the Father through me. Come. But first, we must realize that whatever way we're traveling, that is not Jesus, it is for nothing. All our efforts of religious obedience, our worldly abstinence, are all for nothing. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But how can we trust that Jesus is truly the only way? We can trust Jesus the way because he is the truth that you can trust in. If only we could have, perhaps you're thinking, perhaps if only we could have a little sign that all this is true. That lady's dream seems quite compelling. You know, if only I could have a little sign that this is all true. What if we could just get a little glimpse of our goal? A little glimpse of the Father just right now. A sign. Would that be enough to make us all believe that Jesus is the way, if he gave you a clear sign now? But this is exactly what Philip requests, isn't it, in verse 8? Isn't it? Look at verse 8 again. What does Philip say? Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." What was Jesus' response? Verse 9 to 11, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Jesus has already said that all of us here, the disciples at that time, will one day behold the glory of God the Father by sight. But here, he is saying in these verses that they, that you can behold God the Father now, for he claims to be one with the Father. How can we know that Jesus is the only true way? Jesus claims to be the only true way because he is the truth of God. He doesn't claim to merely speak the truth as though he were a mere human prophet. He's saying, in the timeless reaches of eternity, our God, Father, Spirit, and Son, decided that the Son, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, would put on flesh and blood and be heard. Jesus claims not just then to be a speaker of the truth, which he is, by the way, but the grace and truth of God personified. Picture the imaginary mountain to God again. Imagine at the base there is the start of numerous different paths. Imagine there are representatives, reps, at the bottom of the mountain saying, "This is the way to go," urging you to imitate them and follow them along their way. How do you know which way is true? There is only one path. It's like a riddle from an old movie I saw called Labyrinth. You probably don't remember that film. But essentially, you have two choices. One choice to eternal life with the Father, and every other path to eternal separation from the Father. In the movie, it's eternal destruction, whatever. Which one do we take? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? You look and you behold the one that comes down. You don't look at the reps at the bottom. You look at the one that comes down. You look to the one who condescends and says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's who I choose to believe and place my trust in. In the beginning of John's gospel, Jesus is described as the true light. He is the way and truth which banishes the darkness. Jesus is described as the eternal word who made his dwelling amongst us. You can know that he is the truth because you can look to Jesus, the eternal Son, become flesh. You can trust in Jesus. If that's not enough, his words making that claim, if that's not enough, you can look at his works, which is what he says, isn't it? You can look to him whose works testify to the truth of his person and his nature. Look at verse 11 again, where he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Or believe on account of the works themselves. What are these works? These are the evidences that testify to the truth of Christ. Every time Jesus healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, intervened with nature itself, he's saying to us now, he's saying, "Look at me. Look at me and behold me and see the image of the invisible God, Father, Spirit, and Son." In the light of the horrific murder in Manchester, so many people were killed and affected and impacted that day. including young girls, teenage girls, one as young as 8. And those of us with young daughters will just really get a sense of just the reality of that, even though we're dislocated geographically. When we look at that horror, and I don't know who's been affected by that, you know, we can place our trust in the one that doesn't do horrific deeds like that, but demonstrates power over death. The one that mercifully reached out his hand to a 12-year-old girl and said, "Talitha kum," and she rose from the dead. That's who I place my trust in. Jesus says, "Trust in me. If not because of what I say, then look at my works themselves." Jesus is one with the Father. And as we look to Jesus, we see our destination, promise personified. We see the love of the Father in Jesus, who did not hold back his Son so that we would be given a way back. So what? When we know Jesus as the true way, the way we can trust, we gain such assurance. Do you need assurance this morning? Twice in this chapter, the disciples are told to not let their hearts be troubled, verse 1 and verse 27. I remember after my dad had died at 51, I dreaded going anywhere near a hospital, never mind a cancer ward. But that was taken out of my hands when an older Christian brother who was dying of cancer needed lifts to and from his treatment with his wife, and I was added to the home group rota. I will always remember Eddie's complete trust in the truth of Jesus being the only way. I can always reflect on his steadfastness and his faith. It was astonishing. It's such good news that the glory he beheld by faith then in the person and nature of Christ Jesus, he now beholds by sight as he embraces his Lord in glory. May we behold what Eddie and Ruby, his wife, what they beheld back then. Jesus being the only way and the only truth worth knowing. The great news is Jesus promises to take all his disciples to be with him. There are many rooms. But did you notice in verse 3 that he says he still needs to prepare a room for his disciples? There's still preparatory work that needs to be done. Look again in verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Listen, Jesus is the way because he is the truth of God you can trust. And Jesus is the way because he is also the life to live. We will get to be with Jesus for eternity. We are promised life with him because of his life. So what is Jesus doing going to prepare a room? Sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Is God the Father's house in a state of disrepair? Not at all. It's spacious for all here this morning. And I'm certain it's perfect too. But the disciples cannot go to be with the Father yet. It appears he's got work to do. So what is this work? What work is Jesus still to do at the time that this is presented to us? This is the good news of the cross. You must hear the bad news again first. We cannot ascend to the throne of the Father unless we are perfect. And the Bible teaches us that none of us are righteous. Not me, stood here, looking like somebody selling ice cream, or whatever, and not you either. We are deserving of God's punishment for our sins. God's people have always been shown, and we're no different, to be unfaithful sinners. Jesus is the only way because he is the life. The life that is sacrificed for our sins. He takes the judgment. Don't let this just wash over you like it's the umpteenth time you've heard the gospel. This is good news. He takes the judgment that you deserve in your place so you can have life eternal blessed life with the Father. He is the only way, because the truth of his person, God and man, makes his poured out life on the cross the only acceptable substitute to cover our, your rejection of God and our worship of self. His life sacrificed is sufficient for our eternal life because he is fully man for man's sins, and fully God to bear the judgment for all his people, past, present, and future. It's such good news. Here's the only way, because his resurrected life, you know, the tomb did not stay empty. Wrong.
It was empty.
It's such good news. Jesus left the tomb. The tomb was found empty. His resurrected life, it guarantees us eternal life with the Father. It is such good news, isn't it? It's not enough to think of ourselves as being in a good state, is it? At the bottom of a mountain, waiting for Jesus to condescend to rescue his perfect, shiny people like you and I. That's not right. We are ruined. And to our holy God, we're nothing but monstrous images. And Jesus looks at us as these monstrous images and still chooses to rescue us. Every other religion says, do, do, do. Jesus comes down. He lives that life that we cannot live. He dies the death that you deserve, that we deserve. And on the cross, he says, it's finished. This work on the cross is the preparatory work Jesus needs to do. He needs to fit a door to the Father's house. A cross-shaped door. A cross-shaped door to eternal life with the Father. Do you long? Do you long for that life, that eternal life? Jesus says to you, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. What are you going to do with this truth, this presentation of the only way to eternal life? Listen to Jesus again in verse 1 from this passage. What did he say? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is all we can do. All we can do is trust. Turn from every other way that we've been trusting in. That's repenting. And turn to Jesus again. Place your trust in him. Lean on him and his work finished on the cross. That's faith. In closing, listen and respond to these words again. Jesus says to us all today, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way to go. A wide open gate of mercy for all of you this morning who will enter now. He is the only truth worth knowing, truth of a loving Lord who left the splendor of heaven for the squalor of a sable, so we can behold the glory of the invisible God in the face of Jesus Christ this morning. And you can trust in the light of the horrors we've witnessed this week, whatever horrors you're going through in your life, in your family life, you can trust in his power to save, even in your darkest days. He is the life. Listen, Jesus effectively says to you, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says, I will take you to be with my Father. It's too good to ignore, right? How will you respond? I choose to follow Jesus, to trust in Jesus. How will you respond? Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to trust in you. You are the way and the truth and the life. Without you being our way, there is no going. Without you, the truth, there is no knowing. Without you, the life, there is no living. Help us to know that you are the way which we must follow, the truth which we must believe, the life for which we can hope. You are the unbreakable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life, the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life true, life blessed and life uncreated. We give you thanks for preparing a place for us with our Father. Amen.